Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time here on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3. I'm your host, Double T Travis there, and Crunch Time is presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Dr. Rob Auer, Dr. Brian Whistle, and Dr. Roman Tremba, conveniently located right here in Lawrenceburg, so it's easy to find the orthopedic specialist you need. You can learn more at orthosensi.com. And, of course, Dr. Whistle and Dr. Auer are alumni of the show on In Recent Weeks. You can catch those earlier episodes over at EagleCountryOnline.com. Tonight, we were hoping to have an area sectional champion in the house as the IHSAA Boys Basketball State Tournament got underway last week. Unfortunately for Eagle Country, all of our area teams that we follow are out of the state tournament. And we want to provide a little recap from the sectional and put a kind of a bow on the boys basketball season here in Eagle Country. It was a wild night. This past Friday, we had three area teams lose by 2 points and then a fourth team losing by three in the sectional semifinals. So a little bit earlier this afternoon, called it the Heartbreak Hotel for our area teams. Certainly, I've been in that situation before where you're in the sectional championship. You think you got a grasp on the game, and then all of a sudden you look up and you've lost. And if you're a senior, you've played your last basketball game at the high school level. It certainly is devastating. A lot of time is spent in the gym with your teammates working to get to that goal of winning the sectional and moving on even beyond that. And when it all comes to a crashing halt, it really, really is a sad moment and one that kind of sticks with you for quite some time. But we had the South Dearborn-Connersville game for you on Friday. It was a grinder of a game. Connersville ultimately coming out on top 39-37, but South Dearborn coming out strong in this game, controlled the game early. And if you go back to the previous meeting when these two teams played back in December, it was a blowout win for Connersville. Of course, their program under Kerry Brown has been very, very solid. In the, 10 years that he's been there, 11 years now, something like that. So for South Dearborn early in the year, they were getting acclimated to a new coach, a new system. It was the fourth game of the year. I know they won't use excuses, but I'll do it for them. That game was a blowout because of the circumstances. South Dearborn, a much different team here in March, and took it to Connersville in the first quarter of that game on Friday night. 17-11 lead going into the second quarter. Reese Willoughby came out hot, made some threes. That kind of loosened up Connersville's defense, which they are very, very good. They rank second in the state in points allowed per game, under 40 points. Absolutely phenomenal. And, of course, they held South Dearborn to 37. But things would tighten up in the second quarter. Connersville went on a little bit of a run. They ended up taking the lead, and that was kind of the theme of the game. 11 lead changes, I believe, in this game. Eli Hoffman, a big three going into the half, made an off-balance three-point shot as the time was expiring to go into the locker room. And I believe he hit it off of 1 foot. It was really an exceptional shot. Don't know how he got it to go. But did give South Dearborn a one-point lead and a little bit of momentum going into the second half. Points were really tough to come by in the third quarter. 7-5, Connersville won that quarter. And in the third, it was all knotted up at 30 apiece. That's when Toby Tiki took control of the game. And I tell you what, I've had a lot of fun covering Toby as a basketball player over the past several seasons. Hard-nosed player. Does a lot of good different things for Coach Colston and for previous coaches as well. Defensive intensity, ball handling, timely scoring, leadership, all of the above. Great, great player. He hit a corner three. He's not known for his outside shooting, but was able to knock down a three. Moments later, comes up with a steal, outruns the pack, finishes with a layup. South Dearborn's up five. Not a whole lot of time left in the game. You think the Knights are heading to the sectional championship. Connersville extends their pressure, full court, gets a couple of turnovers. They go on a 6-0 run, regain the lead. And then in the final moments of the game, Connersville missed some free throws, kept South Dearborn alive. Toby Tiki again After missing a free throw that would have tied the game, he had a chance to win it with a three late from the left wing and was off target. Ball kind of bounced around a little bit. Connersville came up with the defensive rebound as time expired, and the game ended 39-37. And I also mentioned a little bit earlier during my afternoon show that for Toby Tiki, I know it hurts, it stings that he didn't make that shot late in the game, but I said it takes a lot of courage to, one, be willing to shoot that shot and be willing to fail in that last moment of the game. And he took it with confidence. He got a good look. It just didn't fall. It wasn't their night. And obviously that is unfortunate because this South Dearborn team was playing really, really well coming into the sectional. They pretty much destroyed Lawrenceburg last Tuesday night to get to the semifinals. Had the talent to go out and win the sectional at Greensburg. This is one of the more open sectionals that they've had in recent years. And it was just a hard-fought game. Somebody had to lose, and unfortunately it was South Dearborn, but hats off to him. The effort was there all night long. Reese Willoughby, 13 points. Eli Hoffman with 10. I know Eli probably knows that he could have played a little bit better in that game, had some costly turnovers late. Toby Tiki with 8 points and Isaiah Jefferson with 6. But South Dearborn finishing the season 13-12 under Matthew Colston, his first year with the program. And I think he's got them heading in the right direction. I really like what he was able to do with this group. I like their style of play. They're going to be really tenacious on the defensive end. Offensively, they show some patience. I like their backdoor action, some cross-screen stuff on the baseline, really opening up some of their kids to get some easy looks down low. They're a good three-point shooting team as well. Really well-balanced on the offensive side of things with a lot of different scores. They can get out and transition at times, although they don't look to do that all the time. It's kind of an opportunity transition type offense, but a lot of talent there. Even coming back, they are going to lose quite a senior class. The aforementioned Toby Tiki, Quentin Stevens, Isaiah Jefferson, and Tanner Hughes. Those four average about 24 points per game. Combined leadership from Tiki, as I mentioned, the defensive intensity, ball handling. Those are some of the things they'll miss from him. The three-point shooting of Quentin Stevens, I should say. An all-around game from Jefferson, and then the length of Hughes, who's also the homecoming king. Another shout-out there to Tanner. But, yes, they're going to certainly miss those four individuals. But for Coach Colston, he's got a solid core coming back, at least as a big three, with Eli Hoffman and the Willoughby brothers, Reese and Ryan. Solid core there. Corbin McHenry, Brody Tiki broke into the rotation this season and do add some depth. Specifically at the guard position. And then, as always, with another offseason to grow, you're going to have some JV guys, some younger kids stepping up into varsity roles next year. Perhaps Jake Daugherty, Hudson Shackelford, Adam Kunkel, maybe Nolan McLean. Those are some of the names to pay attention to, some of the young men that stood out in different JV games that I saw over the season. So certainly I think with Coach Colston in place there, and once the kids continue to get more comfortable in his system, not that they didn't this season, but, you know, with more time comes more perfection, specifically on the offensive end, and knowing where you need to be on the defensive side as well, things are going to be solid there at South Dearborn for years to come under Coach Colston. But to finish off some thoughts on Sectional 29, Connersville would go on to defeat Greensburg in the championship game on Saturday, 46-35. They have truly lived up to the billing in terms of how good they can be defensively. We mentioned under 40 points per game is what they allow teams to score, and they're going to have to be really good defensively in the regional, which is brutal. They'll play number 7, Sullivan. They're 21-3. That's a regional first rounder on Saturday. The other side of the bracket, number 4, Heritage Hills, and number 2, Silver Creek. So, yeah, it doesn't get any easier for Connersville, who just won a really solid sectional. And you have to think, if you know, South Dearborn would have got out, how fun would it have been to see them play the number 7 team in all of Class 3A and then maybe go on to play a top 5 team for the regional championship? Would have been a lot of fun, but a brutal regional this year for anybody that would have won the Greensburg sectional, and that was Connersville. So good luck to the Spartans and Coach Kerry Brown, who, of course, spent a couple years at South Dearborn back. It was like 07, 08, I think, maybe into 09 as well, before he went off to Connersville in 2010, and now he's got that program firing on all cylinders. As for Lawrenceburg, they were obviously in that sectional as well. Wanted to touch on them briefly. Knocked out by South Dearborn in the first round, but the Tigers will have a solid team coming back under first-year head coach Brad Cutter. They went 13-11. They're expected to return four starters next season. That would be Garrett Yoon, Daya Patel, Ashton Craig, and Jackson Bobo. That is a great place to start. Of course, they will be without four seniors that are going to be moving on. Adam Bird, Reese Denning, among the two that played solid varsity minutes, Logan Scalf, and John Askins, also a part of that senior class. But Logan Rohrer, we saw him at times show some flashes at the varsity level. Certainly has some talent there. Andrew Myers, Brennan Bushman, Aiden DeLette, Logan Ahouse among the candidates to step into a larger varsity role next season. And apparently Jackson Bobo's younger brother is a very, very good as well. So who knows, maybe he can crack the rotation as a freshman, much like big brother Jackson did when he was just a freshman. And just one final thought as we're kind of looking ahead and forecasting what things might look like during the 21-22 season. This sectional, always fun, always tough. Connersville and Greensburg have kind of been the cream of the crop there for several years, and it looks like Connersville is probably going to be the favorite again next year, as they only have two seniors moving on, so they'll have many of their core players back from a team that's obviously moving on to the regional. But we certainly believe that South Dearborn, Lawrenceburg going to be in the... And we're just waiting for the day that those two teams clash in the sectional championship. That will be quite something else to see. All right, so we want to hit on some other area teams as well as we're putting a bow on the boys' basketball season. You're listening to Crunch Time, presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Learn more at OrthoCincy.com. That is OrthoCincy.com. And Class 4A East Central knocked out last Tuesday in the first round against Bloomington South. Bloomington South would go on to win this sectional. They have been a powerhouse in Class 4A. If you remember last year, they won the sectional and didn't get a chance to play in the regional due to COVID-19, so they are certainly itching to finish off what maybe they started last year. But for the Trojans, they finished the season 14-10. Under Coach Disbro, he passed the 300-win mark, I should say, this year. Luke Collinsworth becoming the program's leading scorer and rebounder, and Logan Rohrbacher joining the 1,000 career point list. Some of the big moments this year for the Trojans. It was a little bit of an up-and-down season, and I've got a chance to talk to Coach Disbro a couple times during the season, calling their games and whatnot. And these aren't excuses, it's just the matter of fact, basically. Injuries and COVID-19 impacting the Trojans, maybe more so than any other area team here in Eagle Country. Star players missing multiple games, whether it was Collinsworth or Rohrbacher being out. A.J. Messmore, who was essentially the third part of their big three, didn't play at all this season, tore his ACL prior to the start of the season. So obviously that was a big hit for Coach Disbro and his team. If you add A.J. to the lineup and you get some more games out of Rohrbacher and Collinsworth, you probably have more than 14 wins on the season. And perhaps they're able to challenge Connersville in the EIAC. They did finish tied for second after a nice win against Greensburg, the final game of the regular season. But this team at full strength and having the continuity, you think it might have ended a little bit better for them. But again, they play in one of the tougher sectionals in the entire state with both of the Bloomington teams. Columbus North was really good this year as well. So it's always very difficult navigating that sectional. And I tell you what, Coach Disbro going to have his work cut out for them come November. The Trojans will lose eight seniors. We mentioned a few of them, with Collinsworth off to play football at UC. Rohrbacher, we're sure he, if he wants to, can play college basketball somewhere. And A.J. Messmore, of course, after missing the entire season's gone. J.J. Stinger, Reed Cleary, John Hotel, Aiden Connect, and D.J. Stroud, all those young men, contributors on this team, they will be moving on. So what's left in the cupboard for Coach Disbro in terms of varsity participation and contribution? Jaden Dennis, likely going to pencil him in at the point guard. Ryan Selhurst really came on the second half of the season. He looks to be one of their better players coming back. Casey McQueen can do some nice things down low, trying to replace the production of Collinsworth. Cooper Hoog and Caleb Mergenthal back as well. So cupboard's not dry for Coach Disbro, but certainly going to be some new names filling in on that varsity roster next season. And with Coach Diz, when you get to have over 300 career wins, they don't rebuild. They just reload out there in St. Leon, and we would expect nothing less than a nice season from EC coming up when basketball resumes in November. But, we mentioned all the heartbreak that took place on Friday. Milan was not immune to that. The Indians actually led by 8 points at halftime against Triton Central. A strong third quarter by the visitors, though, and they took a two-point lead into the fourth quarter. They did miss some free throws down the stretch, which gave Milan a chance for the win. Peyton Wirt was the one to take the three-point attempt at the end of the game, and it fell short as time expired. But Carson Asherman leading the way, 19 points. Josh Clark with 18. Peyton Wirt with 11 in that game against Triton Central. Milan ending their season 11-10. I've really enjoyed covering this team over the past few years. Wirt, Asherman, Clark, Adam Norman, a really good group of kids, great kids as well. All four are gone, as are Bo Wade, Ethan Schwipps, Evan Miller, Chandler Rutherford, Jacob Wollenweber, and Caden Rainier. That's 10 seniors. So, even more devastating than East Central losing 8. Coach Combs is losing 10 at Milan. But if you want to find a silver lining there, you might think, oh, you're losing 10 seniors. It's going to be a terrible year going forward. But Milan's JV team went 9-8 this season. I know that's not what you would call outstanding, but it's still a winning record. And they finished second in the ORVC, which is a tough conference. But they have 10 sophomores. If this group stays together, look out. That could be a really good thing going forward. When you have classmates that have played together for a long time, dating back to either middle school or grade school, and they get into high school, and if they can stay together, which is kind of odd in this area in this day and age, that could be a really, really good thing. You might want to watch out for the Milan Indians over the next couple of years. And then South Ripley in that second sectional semifinal on Friday for Milan. Wow, who saw it coming? 64-62, South Decatur knocks off South Ripley, who was number 5 in Class 2A. They had won 16 games in a row, only had one loss all season long to Covenant Christian back at the Morristown tournament early in the season. South Decatur was having a nice season. I think they were 14-7 coming in to the sectional. Lane Lauderball is phenomenal, averages almost 30 points per game. This team can really score the basketball. They played South Ripley close earlier in the season, so we knew and thought that it was going to be a tightly contested game and that South Decatur could pull off the upset, but man, that's a crazy way to end it for South Ripley, who looked like they were destined to win the sectional championship and maybe go on to even some brighter things. And I'll tell you what, phenomenal group of players there for Coach Teasing. Going to be losing Cody Samples, the all-time leading scorer now for South Ripley. Simon Westmeyer, who did some nice things at times. Jaden Peets, the big man down low. And Bryce Franklin, who was a nice player coming off the bench. But should be pretty good again next year if you're South Ripley. Zach Gentile and Nick Schwarty, part of that starting lineup. Very, very good players. They'll even take another leap going into their senior year. Blake Voles is a starter as well. And Dalton Smith has come off the bench and played really big minutes for Coach Teasing this year as well. So you think you got four solid starters there. You're always going to have a couple guys step up off the JV and get better off over the offseason. So South Ripley looks like they're going to be a player yet again in the ORVC. You know, down the stretch when we get this boys basketball season started again in November. It never ends, right? We just keep going. Rising Sun, Class 1A sectional out at Southwestern Shelbyville. They came out, got a big win in the first round, knocking off Waldron, excuse me, and not too bad of a season for Rising Sun. 7-11 under new head coach Brandon Snodgrass, which I really like the style of play he brings to Rising Sun. They're a little bit more fast-paced than they were under a previous regime. They get up and down the floor, can really score the basketball, and I assume that that's only going to get better as they get more comfortable in Coach Snodgrass's system. Landon Cole, one of the better players in the area, kind of a do-it-all player, really likes to get it, put his head down and get to the basket, gets his teammates involved. They will certainly miss him. He's an all-conference player. Chris Bound can really shoot it. He's graduating. Dalton Venop had played some minutes off the bench. Colton Smith, Dylan McKinley, the same. And then Chase Keene gone as well. He's a really nice ball handler. Can get to the basket, do some different things. But plenty of talent coming back for Coach Snodgrass. In the 2021-2022 season, they have an exceptional sophomore class. Dylan Martin, Damon Kerrigan, Peyton Merica, Brady Works, those guys have a chance to be really good. And when you throw in Grant Taylor, Kendall Montgomery coming back, solid core for Rising Sun. I've heard through the grapevine they got a couple of freshman players that are pretty solid that you might see make that leap to varsity heading into this next season. So again, while none of our area teams were able to go win the sectional championship, a lot of talent coming back on each and every one of those teams. So again, I know we're kind of forecasting way in advance of the 2021-22 season, but there's some excitement there because we believe that a lot of our area teams are going to be very solid heading into next season. So again, congratulations to all of our area teams for the different accomplishments that they had this season, whether it was the South Dearborn winning the Rivertown Classic, South Ripley winning the Ripley County Tournament, of course the conference champions here in the area, South Ripley in the ORVC, Connersville in the EIAC, they went on to win the sectional as well. Congratulations. It was a great season. We appreciated and enjoyed covering each and every one of our local teams and can't wait to do it again once we get into August for football and then November for basketball. We always look forward to that here at Eagle Country 99.3. So we do have a few other topics we want to hit on here tonight. Crunch Time, presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority here in Lawrenceburg and across the tri-state, located on Wilson Creek Road in Lawrenceburg. Visit orthosensi.com to learn more about their great services. Here's a question for you. Did you watch Mason Paris wrestle over the weekend? If not, you missed out on some good stuff and, well, a big-time matchup on Sunday evening. Now, for those that don't know, Mason, a Lawrenceburg native and a three-time IHSA wrestling state champion, wrestles now at Michigan University. He's been doing some big things. You hear his name often when the heavyweights are talked about, one of the best across the nation. But in the Big Ten, it's like a game of Mortal Kombat. Everybody is imposing at 285 pounds, and Mason would end up wrestling Gable Steveson in the heavyweight division championship match on Sunday evening. He only had to wrestle twice to reach the final, had a bye in the first round as he was the number two seed in the Big Ten tournament, beat Penn State's heavyweight Greg Kirkvliet 11-3, and then pinned Iowa's Tony Cassiope in the semifinals. Then came the colossal matchup with Steveson in the championship. The two could be considered the best at 285 pounds, but it was Steveson who proved to be the best in the Big Ten with a 12-4 victory over Paris. And I watched this match yesterday evening. Gable was able to score some takedowns on Mason. His defense was really strong, too. Mason kind of found himself behind. Once they got into that final round, he really had to try to shoot on Gable and get him to the mat and score some takedowns, And every time he attempted, Gable was just able to kind of just fall down and hold his ground. So again, Gable Steveson goes on to beat Mason Paris. Steveson, the likely favorite to win the national championship this year, but don't count out Paris. We'll likely see him at the Men's College Wrestling Championship, which will emanate from St. Louis on March 18th through the 20th. And while we're on the topic of youngsters from Lawrenceburg doing big things, how about Austin Young? Just 11 years old and recently became the 2021 Junior American Bull Riding Champion at Will Roger Coliseum in Fort Worth, Texas. Young, a middle school student, and well, he's been riding bulls since he was about 5 years old and broke onto the national scene in 2019. And he's cracked the Miniature Bull Riders Association's top 10 rankings, ranking sixth at that Junior American event. He covered his third bowl out of three to win the championship, and because these competitions take place further west, well, Austin gets to spend a lot of his time traveling around to these different bull riding competitions, so he's well traveled and has got to see a good part of the country at only 11 years old and is blazing a trail in the Bull Riding Association, the Miniature Bull Riding Association. So congratulations to Austin on all of his success at such a young age, and keep it up, young man. You're going to do some great things, and I believe we're going to have him in Friday morning with Bubba Bo around, I think, 7:20 for an interview, so going to be able to hear from young Austin himself, and I'm sure we'll have some clips of that for next week's Crunch Time as well. So we have some more information over at EagleCountryOnline.com. While you're over there, you can check out a story published today, actually, which is kind of honoring the fact that the NCAA men's basketball tournament is going to be held in the state of Indiana. Visit Indiana and the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame have come together to name the best college basketball players that originate from the Hoosier State. So basically, the criteria was you had to have played your high school basketball in Indiana, and then no matter what college or university you went to, if you did some really good things there, you're eligible to make this list. And, well, checking in at number 61 on the list, Milan native Bobby Plump, which I think everybody in this area, knows the name Bobby Plump. Helped lead Milan to the 1954 state championship, the most famous state championship maybe of all time in any state. Also was Mr. Basketball in 54, if you didn't know that. But he went on to have an awesome career at Butler. Four-year letter winner, was the team's MVP during his junior and senior seasons. He averaged 16.4 points per game for his career at Butler, among the best free throw shooters in program history. Once upon a time had the single game record for points with 41 against Evansville back in 1958. And just a phenomenal talent in his day and age, Bobby Plump, not only a star at the high school level, but starring at Butler for 4 years and checking in at number 61 on that list. They released players 68 through 33 this week. They're going to release the rest of the list going forward as we get through the rest of March. But some of the other notable names that were on that list, IU's Jared Jeffries. He was a very good player. Actually, I got to meet him at a camp in Batesville when I was in like eighth grade. That was a pretty cool moment. The Zeller brothers, Etwan Moore, who starred at Purdue. Yogi Ferrell, another IU player there. Greg Oden, who played his college ball at Lawrence North in Indianapolis, went on to Ohio State for a year, led him to the national championship game, then was the number one pick in the draft ahead of Kevin Durant and Damon Bailey. I thought his ranking was actually a little low. Maybe I'm thinking a little bit more in terms of his high school career, because he was the all-time leading scorer in Indiana high school basketball. Might still be. Have to check on that. But he had a pretty nice career at IU as well, playing along the great Calbert Chaney for Bob Knight. But Gordon Hayward also on that list, who led Butler to back-to-back national championship appearances, as was Matt Howard, his teammate, who played just down the road in Connersville. So a pretty cool thing that Visit Indiana and the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame have put together. It's going to be a lot of fun to see the rest of the players on this list. Players 32 through 17 going to be announced on March 15th, followed by players 16 through 1 on March 29th. And already said it a little bit earlier, so you might have already heard this, but I'm going to say it again. There will be no surprise as to who number one is on this list. I think we all can agree it's going to be Larry Legend, Mr. Larry Bird. And a couple more things to get to round out the show tonight. The ORVC has announced their all-conference team for boys basketball. We wanted to give a shout-out to those players. For South Ripley, who was the conference champ, Cody Samples, Zach Gentile, Jaden Peets, and Nick Schwarty. Milan also had four selections: Adam Norman, Carson Asherman, Peyton Wirt, and Josh Clark. For some of our other area teams, Jackson Dells, Wyatt Day, Cameron Gell, and Caleb Simon making all-conference. And then Rising Suns, Landon Cole, and Switzerland County's Ben Hicks on that all-conference team. Congratulations to those young men. You can read more about their accomplishment at EagleCountryOnline.com. Also want to throw out Josh Clark was the Mental Attitude Award winner. That is always a phenomenal award to win. I did not have the temperament for that back in my playing days. And while we're talking about postseason awards, the girls basketball players in the area continue to be recognized as the IBCA announced their Supreme 15 All-State teams, the large school All-State and the small school All-State teams last week. On the Supreme 15 team, which is the top thing that you can get from the IBCA, East Central sophomore Josie Trable making the underclass Supreme 15 All-State. 17 points per game, 7 rebounds, almost 2 steals a game. Jackson Dell star Paige Ledford named to the small school All-State team. She averaged a double-double this year, one of 13 players in state history to record 1,000 career points and 1,000 career rebounds. Hope Fox, Jessica Duvall, Annabelle Williams, Rachel Meyer, and Gracie Gunter named to the underclass honorable mention. So those young ladies coming back next year should scare a lot of teams here in the area, because those, 5 five or six were very, very good this year and still have a year or so to go. So congratulations to all those young ladies for their hard work and being recognized by the IBCA. And while we're at it, one more sports story to get to, maybe a little unconventional, but it is a thing nowadays. South Dearborn introducing an e-sports team. This is actually a really cool. I'm very into video games. Would have loved for this to be a thing back in my high school days, but they recently joined the Indiana High School Esports Network for the spring 2021 season. South Dearborn Esports going to participate in four categories. Forza, which is a racing game. It's phenomenal. If you haven't played it, it's awesome. Graphics are great. Gameplay's sweet as well. Super Smash Brothers, Ultimate, Rocket League, and Chess. South Dearborn's Esports team, from all indication, has had a pretty good start at it, especially playing Rocket League. They're going to have some Super Smash Brothers games coming up here momentarily as well. And apparently they're going to be streaming some of these games live on their Twitch page, which we have a link over at EagleCountryOnline.com. But great opportunity for some folks to get out and participate in a team. And, well, the members of the inaugural South Dearborn Esports team are Austin Hoskins, Keegan Goodpaster, Brandon Strassman, Justin Armstrong, Oliver Babcock, Hunter Garland, Josh Murray, Austin Pitts, Cole Peterman, Logan Heakey, Damian Brightwell, Kenny Jardy, Randall Acey, and Daniel Potter, Daryl Potter, Logan Richard, and then their sponsor is Jonathan Kraft. I think it's really cool. Love the esports. Hopefully those young men are having a ball with it and winning some games as well. So that's going to do it for tonight's edition of Crunch Time. It is presented by Ortho Cincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. Go online to schedule your next appointment or learn more at orthocincy.com. Again, I'm your host, Double T Travis there. Appreciate you listening in each and every Monday, 6 to 6:30, right here on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3.